Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Jason Miller, executive editor of Federal News Network, and I want to invite you and your colleagues to join us for our second annual DoD Cloud Exchange. This three-day event, March 22nd through the 24th, will feature technology executives from the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, the Air Force, and of course, the Defense Information Systems Agency. So join us March 22nd through the 24th for the second annual DoD Cloud Exchange. Register today on federalnewsnetwork.com.
Support for the Boner Planet podcast is presented by
Dead Downwind, Tinks, Shadowhunter Blinds, Burris Optics, Dead Ringer, The Grind, Bomar Archery, Element Outdoors, Reveal Cellular Camera, HHA and HHA USA, Black Eagle Arrows,
Cobra Archery, Camp Chef, Thorn Broadheads, and Deer Camp Coffee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bowhunter Planet podcast. I have myself, James Noboom, Dave Thomas, and Logan Holst from Burris Optics. How's it going?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. So, I hear we got a couple new products coming out. I know we've talked before, but now it's hunting season, so we got to get a little bit more in depth on these new sights. So, why don't you tell us what you got going right now?
Yeah, man, on the archery front, you know, as always, we got new stuff coming out left and right. But on the archery front, we got, you know, the Oracle 2, that rangefinding bow sight that we had before in the Oracle. We came out with the second version of that. I know we got a couple headed in your guys' ways, so you'll have to let us know what you think about them. Basically, that's a pretty straightforward explanation. Everybody knows how the Oracle works. So the Oracle 2 is the same thing, right? It's a rangefinding bow sight that gives you your pin for your exact arrow and includes angle and everything. And basically what we did is we just took all the customer feedback that we got from Oracle 1 and put it in Oracle 2. So,
yep.
That's so pretty sweet.
What are a couple of the changes? I do know a couple of them, but if you could walk us through them, I think that'd be helpful.
Yeah, for sure. We actually did an entire video on this exact topic. So if you guys want to go to our YouTube channel, you can check that out. Basically, it's titled, you know, what is the difference between the Oracle 1 and Oracle 2? Pretty straightforward.
It's easy.
Yeah. One of the major things that we changed was actually some feedback we got from you guys. So thank you for that. People were just saying, you know, I wish I had a little bit more control over the brightness levels. You know, when it gets really dark, I want to be able to turn it down really low. So we made the LED essentially have more range in its brightness setting. We also just increased the accurateness of the automatic brightness setting. So now when the sight automatically kicks itself on, it's going to kick itself on at a more accurate brightness level. So that was probably one of the biggest things that we changed on the sight. We also made the sight housing a little bit more of a, call it modern design. We took that ring, the actual aiming ring that you see, you know, that you line your peep up with.
Yep.
We made that a little bit brighter, a little bit different color green, just a little bit more easy to see. We made the bubble so that if you flip the sight over to left, you know, the sweet left-handed trick where you flip it upside down and it automatically switches itself to a left-handed sight. Now the left-handers can put the bubble on the bottom. What else? Oh, the laser rangefinder in the sight, that is now mechanical micro adjustments. So it's not on like a loose scale when you're trying to tune in that laser rangefinder. It's now micro adjust. So it makes the sight in process a little bit easier.
I tell you what, I mean, first off, no boom's dead on with that thing. And it's pretty incredible. But let's talk about crossbows for a second. So this concept, you know, to put a range finding scope on a crossbow. I mean, it's amazing. Like, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. This actually happened to me when I was hunting. So a few years back, I was sitting in this tree stand and Jamie had walked. He was sitting behind me like 80 yards, 100 yards behind me on a different trail, but it was like there.
I'm honestly getting sick and tired of the story.
I know, but this product right here, it makes sense for this. So this, the biggest buck I've ever seen in my life runs across the field with its nose down to the other edge. So it's behind me and it's running this edge on the scrape line and it goes to the trail that Jamie went down and it stops dead and it doesn't move for like 50 minutes. I mean, it's just staring down that trail and I don't know if it could possibly even see him, but either way, it knew something wasn't right. So it turns and it runs literally right to my right. Like, but it's like 50, 60 yards, but right to my right. So I have a crossbow and I have no range finder. So I have no idea what this distance is. So this is a great example. And I missed the deer, but like, this is a great example of if I had this thing, it would have been lights out. Like it would have been perfect. I mean, I just can't believe that this had to come out a couple years after this happened to me.
Well, I'm sure Logan has a little story for you about crossbows then.
I do, yeah. So the product I was just running you guys through is the Oracle 2. That's the second version of the vertical bow sight. And then, yeah, to solve the age-old problem of the range finder, put the range finder down, have to draw your bow debacle that we've been dealing with for decades and decades. The range finding optic lineage for Burris continues, right? We now have the range finding ballistic compensating crossbow scope as well. We call that one the Oracle X that came out this year. It is the first ever range finding crossbow scope. So essentially, you know, that one, again, easy to explain if you know our products. If you know our Eliminator rifle scope, it's the same exact thing in a crossbow scope. So it's got the rangefinder built into it. No separate smartphone, no separate rangefinder. You don't need any of that crap. No connectivity. You don't need it. You put your crosshairs in the target. You click the button. It gives you the exact distance to your target and the exact holdover for your bolt and for the angle you're shooting at. Yeah.
I love when people can put mathematics into like something like this and like it automatically figures. It's like the coolest thing. That is so cool.
And the more you hunt, too, the more you really appreciate it because, you know, in three gun, we have this saying, right? Where when the buzzer goes off, your head falls out your butt, right? And the same thing is true for hunting. Like all is well when you're practicing until you see that swamp doggy roll in and your head falls out your butt. You forget how to do everything that you practice. And there's some truth to that, man. Buck fever, when it sets in, and if you're not feeling buck fever, you probably should stop hunting, but anyway, when that buck comes in, man, the last thing you want to be thinking about is, okay, I gotta range him. Then I gotta try to dial my sight. Then I gotta get away with this quiet, smooth draw. And then I gotta none of that. What these products allow you to do is to just focus on making a good shot. Once you learn how to trust your equipment, man, you put that pin where it needs to go, focus on making that clean release, clean, smooth trigger pull and, you know, let the bullet, arrow or bolt do its job.
What's going on in the crossbow market. So for instance, have you guys been able to test this with high speed stuff? Like the new Raven coming out, that's 500 feet. Any thoughts to that? Like that's not going to be a problem or we have to look at it. You know, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So we developed the scope on the Raven, actually the current previous fastest crossbow out there. Crossbows, I know 10.2 has one that's just a screecher. Honestly, the faster the crossbow, the better the scope performs. I will explain that to you in layman's terms. Just like with the bow sight, you and your sight circle have only a certain amount of downward distance that aiming point can travel, right?
Yeah.
The faster your bow or crossbow is, the further that distance is going to be. So on the scope, if you're cranked up to 7 power, that bottom dot on 7 power, it might be 60 yards on a slow crossbow. It might be 100 on a fast crossbow. Because again, the faster the bolt is moving, the less it's dropping. So the further, you know, the faster your crossbow is, the further you're going to be able to shoot with that scope.
That makes sense. Any thoughts to the crossbow, like the Twin Strike from Excalibur, having two bolts one being technically then lower than the other by an inch or so. I mean, do you think that would be any issue?
Yeah.
Or?
There's two lines of thought on that, right? Like, it's just like when you're sighting on the laser with a gun, you can either make those points, like those two arrows can intersect at a determined distance. So you can say, the engineers can say, I want those bolts to cross it perfectly at 60 yards. Or you can choose for those two different paths to travel parallel in infinity until they hit the ground, right? I don't know which way they went. That's up to them. As far as, you know, shooting two bolts at once, seems like an expensive idea, but I'm not one to hate on it. People trying to push the limits, you never, maybe the two bolt thing is going to come out to an even better idea. Like I'm not one to hate on it. Trying to push the limits. I prefer to take, you know, one good aiming shot, not that you're not with two bolts. Okay. Maybe somebody wants to shoot one fixed and one expandable there and really try to get the best of both.
Yeah.
Worlds. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I was thinking more just like, would there be an issue? But I think you're right, because I'm pretty sure that those two do intersect at a distance. So therefore, technically, even if you're aiming with the same spot, should probably hit the same spot regardless on which bolt you fire, because it has two separate triggers. So it would be one, then the second one, like a double barrel.
Ah, gotcha. Well, could you, in theory, then if it's a double trigger, fire both at the same time?
You could, but it's almost impossible. I've done it, you know, but you have to like, in each trigger's got a different pull weight. It's not the same. I don't know if they did that strategically, so you don't do two at once type thing, but they're different feels. So the one's a short pull, one's a longer pull, you know.
We lose video.
You guys just called me on a different line or something. All right. Yeah. So I'm all for it. If it's separate, you know, separate trigger pulls, separate arrows, it's always nice to have a quick follow-up shot. I mean,
yeah, that's what I think it's for. Yeah. It's more for like you shoot the deer or use your going to track, you know, or if you miss, you could take another shot, but you ain't missing with that Oracle. I mean, come on, let's be honest.
Well, hey, I mean, honestly, to add on to that, if you have two shots, that's where the Oracle is even more effective. So if you got that first shot off at 20 yards, let's say you hit him a little far back and he runs out to 50 and he stops. Well, you're tracking him with the scope. The second he stops, quick range him, get that new point of aim and smack him again. Right.
Yeah. So yeah, especially with your sight, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Right. Versus like having to shoot once, come up to your rangefinder, find him again in the scope, dial it or hold over and shoot. Like your time waste is not there. So.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's cool. So what else you guys got going on? I know I heard the word thermal come up a little bit. So what's up with thermals? What you guys work on with that?
Yeah, man. Just Burris is there. Our engineers are nuts, man. And our product manager, crazy. Like they're just always pushing the envelope. Obviously with the range finding optics and then now thermal, we got on the thermal kick. It's like, hey, we know people want it. And really there was a huge hole in the market for quality thermal at a really low price. It didn't exist. So we're like, hey, let's try it. Bam, came up with these products, sent them out this year. Unreal. It really surprised me. The thermal market is so hot right now. Like you talked about the crossbow market being hot. Thermals are just absolutely blazing right now. So those sales have been going really well for us. We're just helping people. I would say like, and twofold, extend their hunting hours, which is really cool. It's having gotten addicted to the thermal game already. It's it's a bad thing, man. Like you just become a vampire.
God, I was just going to say, I can see myself sitting out there at 1 a.m. just looking through.
Yeah, that's so cool.
It's brutal. Like once you hunt with thermal once, you're addicted. It's like a drug, and you're like, this is awesome. I'm going to stay out all night. Well, next thing you know, you're out all night, six nights in a row, and you're sleeping all day, and your sleep cycle's all messed up. And, you know, you're 50 coyotes deep, and you're like falling asleep during the day. And man, yeah, it's something.
It seemed like it'd be hard though, because it almost like you can't see anything until you're looking through it. So, do you guys have any plans to do any binoculars that would go with it, so you could be like, you know, glassing like a thermal, and then look through the scope?
So yeah, within our product lineup, we have handhelds, which is kind of like, we call them scanners. And then we have a rifle scope, And then we also have a clip on. So for somebody that's looking to truly get the setup, you would get a handheld and
I see it now.
You can scan. Yeah, you scan with the handheld. You see them coming in. You get on your gun that's on its tripod. Bam. And if anybody is looking to get into thermal, I highly recommend. We did an entire series of videos on how to get into thermal hunting on our YouTube channel. Walks you through literally everything from how to set up, what gear you could possibly need, everything from the entry-level gear all the way up to the top end. We walk you through everything step by step. And if you are looking to just get into thermal hunting, that's where that clip-in comes to play, because you can use that clip-on as a hand scanner and then clip it onto your rifle to shoot with. Ooh, so it's kind of a quasi both option there. Yep.
That's
really cool. those thermal products we have are all coming in sub $3,000, all the way down to about two. So we've taken those thermal optics that used to be super unaffordable, you know, $5,000, $7,000, $10,000, $12,000 in some cases, and brought it in. So now the average person can afford them. Primarily people are using them for, you know, obviously hog control in the South, predator control all across the country. And then some people in some states are legal to scout with. So people are, you know, scouting those big bucks that go nocturnal, right? Obviously check your local guidelines and rules on that. But, I will say from a predator standpoint, I've hunted coyotes literally my whole life. And I always thought of myself as a lower mid pack average coyote hunter. And then you go out at night and you just feel like you can't go wrong. It is no.
Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
You know the old saying, selling like hotcakes? What does that even mean? What is a hotcake anyway? They should change it to selling like Hondas, because right now, Hondas are selling faster than ever. Probably because they're so rugged, long-lasting, and fuel-efficient. And if you want one, you should get to your local Honda dealer right away. Check out the 8-passenger Pilot, or maybe the adventurous Passport. But you gotta do it fast, because Hondas are selling like, well, Hondas. New models are arriving right now. Don't wait. See your local Honda dealer today.
Pun intended, but it's a night and day difference, man. You get out there at night, and the coyotes, like, their guard is down. They're like, oh, it's dark. We're the apex predator. There's no worry. They come in, guard down, and yeah, it gets Western, man. Like, the first night I went out with thermal... I was shooting a suppressed 22, and I was like, yeah, let's see how many coyotes I can kill with a 22. Why not? Let's see how close we can get them. And I shot 14 coyotes in 3 days.
What?
With a 22.
Yeah, we needed to get that done at the lease.
All headshots, just 22 inside 15 rounds. And the 22. Wild thing is when you're shooting a 22 that's suppressed and you have subsonic rounds and you shoot, coyotes don't hear it. I mean, gun goes off. The loudest sound is the sound of the bullet hitting the coyote, and sometimes they yelp before they smoke the ground. Wow. And then you just go to the next one, and you can clean up a pack in a hurry.
Interesting. I like that idea. I like the idea because it's cool. I thought about that because I thought, I wonder if there's any rules in our state with firing a gun at night, because it's probably pretty loud.
There's certain calibers. Like, I couldn't shoot a Creedmoor. I think it's like, I can't remember how high it goes, but it's pretty low.
But I like the idea of using the silencer. It'd just be nice and quiet. That's really cool.
It's suppressors are not quiet unless you're shooting subsonic rounds, but subsonic rounds, like with a 300 blackout and the suppressor, they get, I'm not saying that you can't hear them, but it's a lot quieter. Normally the sound of the bullet breaking the sound barrier, it does really, really help.
Yeah, that makes sense. So tell us about what you guys have in the handgun market, because I know you have this Fastfire 3, so I just gotta ask.
Yeah, in the handgun market, I mean, we have all the red dots in the world, right? Like, we've got RT1s, RT3s, coming out with an RT5, that's on the rifle side. We have the Fastfire 3. Last year we launched the Fastfire 4. Do I still have you guys there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll pick right back. Yeah, we have the Fastfire 3. Now we launched the Fastfire 4. The Fastfire 4 is basically the Fastfire 3, but with four different reticle options. So that's sweet.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
In the hunting handgun market, I mean, Burris is the originator of the handgun scope. So in the hunting market, when you talk, you know, 357s, your 44 mags, people, you know, stuff people actually hunt with, you know, we have everything from 2-7 power to 3-9 power variable with the ballistic reticles for your holdovers. And that's the stuff that I've, you know, over the last 5 years gotten really into.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. I want to get into the, is it a 44 mag that you would use for the handgun hunting?
Yeah, that's what I use. People use everything from some people shoot them with 10 millimeters. Some people hunt with 357s. There's even like your Thompson Center contenders where people use 308, 6.5 Creedmoor, 30-30, all kinds of stuff. So you can get into your larger centerfire cartridges. I'm more of a traditionalist. I shoot a Ruger Super Black Hawk standard revolver, you know, longer barrel and 44 mag, and shot a doe last year in Wisconsin, 115 yards, had the Burris handgun scope dialed all the way up to 7.
Wow. That's awesome. That's one of my dreams. I was telling Opum earlier in the year and he was laughing. He's like, oh, we're going to wound all these deer. Cause I love the idea of just having like a big handgun that I don't have to hold a gun or anything. I could just like, I could put it in a holster and like sit in a tree and just relax.
I'm trying to get him to shoot one with a rifle first.
Yeah.
Get one under the belt and then take it
in progression, you know. But no, funny you say that.
No, so, Logan's got me pumped up, man. I want to go with a pistol.
I will say on the wounding thing, make sure with the handguns you do your research on the bullet you're gonna use. Make sure, you know, you're hiring a good fast bullet. Make sure it's either a hollow point that's going to expand or one of the plastic tip bullets that's going to expand. And what's a little bit different, it's almost like I would think about it like shooting a muzzle loader. You really almost want to hit them in the front shoulder to get that bullet to open. Just like with a muzzle loader, if you just hit behind the shoulder and it doesn't hit anything, it'll just go through in a hole and it won't open up.
Interesting.
So your shot placement needs to be a little bit different because you want that bullet to open. Same thing people see with muzzleloaders. If you ever shoot someone with a muzzleloader and it runs off and there's like no blood trail, it's just because it didn't hit anything on the way through and it just poked a hole.
What would you say to that for like that 350 Legend or 450? Do you still aim for the shoulder?
Yeah, I mean, 350 Legend, 450 Bushmaster, those things are heavy. Those things they're wrecking. It doesn't matter. I mean,
yeah,
you hit a deer with one of those and you're good. It's just like the muzzleloader bullets, the handgun bullets, they don't really like to open too much. I was trying it in the front shoulder, but yeah, you got enough speed going.
There we go.
You get him in the shoulder, you hit them good with the handgun, they go down, man. My doe last year went 15 yards. So
what's your thoughts on when it comes to, because you do obviously know a lot about guns, so I'm gonna ask this question anyway. What's your thoughts on sidearm protection? So for instance, I'm going bear hunting coming up and I got a 45 Springfield I was going to bring XDE, and my question is that the ammo, like, would you recommend, like, because I always thought like if a bear is charging you or something, which this is not going to happen, but like let's just say the potential could happen, a bear charged me, is it better to shoot a hollow point at the bear or is it better to shoot a full metal jacket to like break the head type thing?
That is a loaded question, my man. I shoot full metal. I shoot full metal jackets in my right when I hunt out west, whether it's for lion or whatever, it's for hunting an area with grizzlies when I'm up in Alaska or whatever. I take full metal jacket. That's personal preference. If you're going to try to shoot them in the head with a hollow point, newsflash, it's not going to work so well for you. So you have to kind of know your setup and know where you want to hit them ahead of time. So I like to take full metal jacket. I've always kind of run the scenario through my head. Of course, you know, it's never going to happen, but always assume the worst. I've always kind of played it through my head. Like, let's say you do get attacked by a bear in my hand, my carry gun, I know I got 7 rounds. My first 6 are going into its body as it's running at me. In this scenario, I'm holding that pistol as hard as I can with that last bullet in it left. I'm letting it knock me to the ground. And then the last one's going in its head. That's how I play the scenario out. But
yeah, I was just curious because I was thinking about it and I'm like, well, I saw, so like we had a guy shoot a pig a couple years ago and he tried to, it didn't die right away. He tried to finish it by shooting in the head with a hollow point at 40 caliber and it didn't do nothing, like nothing. And I'm like, what? Like the thing was like fine. I'm like,
wasn't that a Russian boar though? I mean, they're kind of
still, I'm just saying, yeah. Like it's a handgun at 3 yards away, you know. I mean, it was crazy to me that it didn't do much. And I'm sure it hurt it, don't get me wrong, but it didn't kill it, didn't even knock it out. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. But anyway, that's what I was thinking this year. I'm getting ready for this hunt. I'm like, well, I would rather full metal jackets. I want it to, you know, break whatever it hits, whether, because if it's charging, its head's coming at me first. So I just got to be able to, and I'm more worried about the recovery. So if I shoot it with my bow, which I plan to do, and you go to recover it, and let's just say it's not dead, right? It could get crazy.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And like I said, always assume the worst, man. And also put your best foot forward. Assuming the worst, putting your best foot forward. That's why I carry full metal in my carry gun, you know.
And what's your carry gun?
So I have two different carry guns and it depends on how far back I'm going. it's the old backpacker's curse, right? Like I do a lot of backcountry hunting here in Colorado. And if I'm going super deep, I just take it's a little Ruger. I think it's called an LCP. It's a little 380. So I take that. And then if I'm not going super deep, I have a Taurus 9mm, their G2C.
So that's your main, the 9mm would be your main one if you're going somewhere dangerous.
Yep. Well, no, because if I go to Alaska, I'm taking my 44. Anywhere where there's grizzly bear, I'm bare minimum 357, probably my 44.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was getting at. Yeah. All right. Yep. I got an upgrade again.
Here we go.
Again, I've never had to use one. I don't think you ever will, but
nah.
Yeah.
I just fun buying them.
I have drawn them. I have almost had to use them in Alaska. So,
wow.
And that was fishing. I wasn't even hunting.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, we went to Canada. You couldn't even have it. All we have is bear spray.
Oh, it was scary.
In the middle of nowhere. Really,
they don't allow you to have a gun in Canada if you're American. It's crazy.
Yo, public service announcement here to all listeners. It's a very common thing that happens out west, and I feel like not a lot of spray is a joke.
Do not
rely on bear spray.
No.
It may work to warn them off in the beginning, but just know that once you spray that bear spray, it literally, in a matter of 5 minutes, becomes an attractant. After the sting wears off, it gets sweet, and it will attract them. So if you are in your tent sleeping, and a bear comes to invade, and you spray it all over, and you continue to sleep there, you will get eaten. Public service announcement. Once you spray your bear spray, you need to get the heck out
before
you spray that. I am not kidding. That is amazing. So
that's crazy.
There you go.
I guess next time we go, I'll just get a whistle.
No, well, you spray and run. Get the heck out of there, dude.
That's where you run to. You're 3 miles from the next dude.
You run it out. Yeah, I ran it out.
You do it with the people of Boulder, dude. The People's Republic of Boulder. Just throw cashews at them, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I'll just trip Nope Boom in front of me and I'll run. Oh, man. That's exciting. I mean, you guys got so many things going on here. It's rough. Let's ask the harder question. So, I mean, how have you guys been as a company as far as getting product? Because, you know, obviously it's very complicated and a different time right now for companies. Things are selling like crazy, but also the supply chain. So how are you guys doing with that being affected?
Yeah, I mean, luckily our factory's been running full speed ahead the whole time. So we've been cranking the product out, man. I think
awesome.
It was around April maybe of last year, somebody in our factory got it. So we took a 2 week break, literally like all 120 employees over at the factory kind of just took a 2 week break, let everything settle down and then came back to work. And other than that, our factory has been ripping the whole time. So
nice.
We've been cranking the product out. As far as the stuff that we do, you know, supply and can get shipped in, it's been all right. There's obviously some struggles and some hurdles there, but overall, not too bad.
That's good.
When it comes to the bino market, you know, it doesn't look like you guys changed anything this year with it yet. And the thing is, though, they're such high quality. Like I don't know where else you go from here, because they're really nice. Like I've been really happy with the binos. Like I just feel like when I'm holding them, I'm holding quality. I mean, it's like amazing to me. So what's the thought on that? Where are you guys going, somewhere different, or adding anything to that in the next couple of years, or what's your thoughts?
So yeah, on the binos, got the two different lines right now. The drop tine, which is definitely your very high value, especially for what you're paying. And then on the Signature HD side, that's definitely like our top of the line stuff, which I don't really know how we can really improve upon those. Unlike most optics companies, we really only offer those two lines. And the reason we do that right now is if we order a lot of them, it allows us to bring the cost down. So rather than offering, 10 different variations where we're only ordering a couple hundred of each and it jacks the price way up, it's a way for us, by only offering two different models, granted we have two or three different sizes in each one of those, it allows us to get the cost way down. So I don't really foresee us ever getting crazy into the vinyl market, just because if we did that, we'd be forced to drive the prices up a little bit, which we don't want to
do. Yeah. And I think that, when I feel like the one thing is this I love about Burris is like, and this is not because you guys sponsor the show or anything like that when I say this, the quality is so good. And like, it's just so nice when you have a product that's such good quality. And you don't have to think twice about, like, is it going to last? Is it worth the money? That's the one thing I love about this brand, that, you guys have done such a great job keeping this stuff high quality, low price, and getting people have options. I mean, look at the grip alone on that; those things are amazing. Like, it's got actual texture grip, and you when you're holding them, you can feel it. And like I said, you feel the quality. It is definitely, in my opinion, maybe the best vinyls on the market. Very, very well done.
Yeah, we appreciate that, man. They're definitely solid, and they were built to be that way. Like you said, with all of our stuff, man, we've been around for 50 years, and there's a reason for it. We weren't born yesterday.
Yeah.
Been around for 50 years, man, and we're not going anywhere.
All right, Logan, thanks so much. Burris Optics, guys, check them out online when you get a minute. I'll post the links below. But again, high quality meets good price, and you're not gonna be disappointed at all. And so it's one thing I can tell you from this conversation, that if Burris said tomorrow, forget you, BHP, we're never talking to you again, I would always say that's one of the best quality binos I've ever played.
But stay tuned for the test lab videos on the new both sites too.
It's gonna be exciting. It's gonna be a good year. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Experience the power of 5G with T-Mobile. With faster 5G speeds nationwide, you can upload your favorite videos super fast or game on the go. Plus, T-Mobile has more 5G bars in more places, so you can stay connected to what matters most from almost anywhere. Switch to T-Mobile today, the leader in 5G.
T-Mobile has America's largest 5G network, fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 5G speeds for Q4 2021. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Hey, I'm Callie.
And I'm Will.
The world's been a little bit wild lately.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
You know what the world needs? I mean, what we all need? A little bit of Chill the podcast.
Honestly, the world needs a whole lot of chill.
Chill is a vibe, a place to get a mindset reset, calm down overthinking, and learn new tools for how to change our lives from being reactive and stressed out to proactive, grounded, and centered.
So join us for a little bit of Chill the podcast.
Join Callie and Will for a little bit of Chill the podcast. Drops every Thursday.